This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Be salt and be light. Let your life make somebody else thirsty. Be a light in somebody else's darkness. Get yourself off your mind, and I'm telling you, God will do more for you in 5 minutes than you could have done in a whole lifetime. I am so excited about what I'm going to share with you tonight. Not because I've never shared it before, because I in fact have, but I've been really praying that tonight you're going to finally hear it. You see, just because we sit in a chair and listen to something doesn't necessarily mean that we get it. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "It doesn't bother me at all to tell you the same things over and over." Because to be honest, we need to hear the same things over and over and over. And sometimes about the 25th time you hear it, something clicks and you're like, oh. And it's like it's brand new to you, but God's already given it to you several times. Now, I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And it's about the signs of the end times, which I think all of us probably know that we're in those times. And I know every generation thinks they are, but one thing's for sure, we're further in than any other generation has been. And everybody's always interested in what are going to be the signs of the end times. Well, if you read Matthew 24 and look at what's going on in the world today, surely you have to say we're in here pretty close. One thing, and it doesn't say this here, but it says that there will be so much deception, and we know deception comes from the devil. We said last night that deception means to believe a lie. We're deceived when we believe lies. Like for many years of my life, I believed that I would always have a second-rate life because my father had sexually abused me. I just believed that, you know, that had done damage to me and damage to my life, and whatever I would have been or could have been, I couldn't, that was gone. Well, see, that was a lie, but as long as I believed it, then it was my reality. And when I found out that God would heal me, and not only heal me, but if I would trust him, he would pay me back. The Bible says he will pay me back for the shame of my youth. God is our recompense. But if you keep trying to collect your own debts, come on now, if you keep trying to collect your own debts, then God can't get involved and do it for you. That's why he tells us to forgive and to even go so far as to love and pray for our enemies, not because they deserve that or not because it's easy for you to do, but it allows him to work. And let me tell you something. When God goes to work on somebody, the devil might as well get out of the way. Amen. Because God's going to win. But the Bible says that in the last days, the deception coming on the earth will be so great that if God did not shorten those days for the sake of the elect, that no man, now get this, no man could withstand the deception coming on the earth. We got to get our heads out of the sand and realize that we are living in extremely dangerous times. But I'm not afraid to go and live my life because I'm in God's hands. I'm not in the devil's hands. I'm in God's hands, and I'm in God's hands because I know how to work with God to keep the devil not from attacking me, but to keep him from winning when he does come against me. The enemy will come against us one way and flee before us seven ways if we know how to stand up to him properly. So starting in verse 4, it says, they wanted to know, when are all these things going to happen? What should we look for? And so Jesus answered, watch out that nobody deceives you. So you can't just assume that you are above deception, because I can tell you that you're not. There's nobody in here that is so spiritual that it is impossible for them to be deceived. That's why all over the Bible it tells us to watch and pray and watch and be alert and be on your guard. Watch out that nobody deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed, because these things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are just the beginning of the birth pains. Now, we're having more what is called natural disasters today than at any other time, I think. I mean, unless they just had no way of reporting them a long time ago, and they've always been around. But our ministry has been involved in helping people in 168 national disasters just in the last few years. Houston was flooded a year ago, and now they're flooded again. 30 inches of rain. The airports are closed. People that were on their way to this conference couldn't get their flights out. It's a hurricane here and a fire there. And I think last year we were in California, it was all the fires up in Redding. And there's so many people that are being hurt. And people wonder, well, you know, what's going on? Where's God in all this? And you know, there's a scripture that says that the more that sin increases, that, now listen to this, the earth groans waiting for the redemption of the children of God. So I think our earth is groaning. I think it's crying out that even it can't last much longer under the weight of the sin and the unbelief in the world today. Now, I'll be honest with you, even though I'm in front of millions of people via television and I'm out in the public like this all the time, I live a fairly isolated life, and that probably sounds strange, but I do. And when I talk to people in ministry that are really like out and about and involved in a lot more things than I am, to be honest with you, I've always just kind of felt like I just need to stick to my business and do what I feel like God wants me to do, stay on the path he gave me to walk on, and it's working pretty good, so I'm not going to try to fix it. Because sometimes when you get out and you get involved in too many things, unless you're really, really strong, which a lot of people are, it's easy to get sucked into stuff that really doesn't make any sense at all. But some of the things that I'm hearing are like so stupid. I mean, honestly, just stupid. I mean, somebody told me something today and actually showed it to me online, of this group of people that once were very strong Christians are now confessing their sins to plants. And I'm like, oh. Now, I know that'll get me in trouble, but somebody needs to tell you the straight up. God made the plant, and the plant can't forgive your sin. And to me, that stuff is so ridiculous. I'm like, how could anybody believe that? That's why we have to keep preaching the truth and keep, you know, not sugarcoating in it and not trying to get it sweet and nice so everybody can swallow it. If you think that I'm tough sometimes, you should have heard Jesus preach. You snakes, you bunch of vipers, all you are is a bunch of hypocrites, he said. Whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. I think I'm pretty nice. I get kind of protective of God's reputation. sometimes. Chris Kane and I were shopping together one time, and we went in this store, we're looking around, mentioned that we were visiting. She said, "Oh, what are you doing here?" It was, "Well, we're ministers and we're going to hold a conference." And she said, "Oh, yes, I'm spiritual too." Well, right away, that kind of puts up my antennas. It's like, "Oh, you're spiritual." She didn't say she was a Christian. She said, "I'm spiritual." And so we went on talking a little bit, and she cuts off with a four-letter word, and then she said, "Oh, I'm sorry," but she said, "Tell you the truth, I think God cusses too." Okay, now, I get my back up. I'm going to protect God's reputation. I lean across the counter, and I said, "God does not cuss." And Chris Kane kind of leaned in right in front of me, and she said, "But he loves people who do." And what God spoke to me later is, "You were trying to clean the fish, and we hadn't even caught it yet." So, you know, she's an evangelist at heart, and she wanted to get the girl saved. And I'm a teacher and all for spiritual maturity, and I wanted her to straighten up right then. But there is some weird stuff out there. Lord have mercy. "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death." And you know, Christians are now the most persecuted group in the world. And it's getting here too. Right in America. This place was founded so people could have religious freedom. And now every kind of religion has freedom except Christians. And we better stand up and fight for our rights in a right way, not a violent way, but in a right way, or we will lose them. "Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith," which is happening today, "and will betray," get this, "and will betray and hate each other." And that's what's got me so concerned right now. There's so much anger and hatred and strife and judgment and criticism and gossip and unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. And because of it, the church has no power. The anointing abides where there's peace and unity. And we have nothing if we don't have God's anointing. And some of you maybe don't even know what that is. God's anointing is so precious. It's His power and His presence in your life. And the Bible says if you have the anointing, you have no need for anybody to teach you. Now that's not talking about like a teacher like I'm a teacher. That's a gift in the body of Christ. But it means you don't need to have somebody else telling you what to do all the time, because the presence of God in your life will show you whether to go to the left or the right, or to say yes or to say no. You need God's anointing not just to preach, but you need His anointing to raise kids, to go to work and come home sane. And I'm just going to say it plainly. You are not going to have God's anointing and hate somebody at the same time. Now, I know this is not the first message that you've heard on forgiving people, and that's not all I'm going to talk about tonight. But if you're still getting mad at people and staying mad, then you still need to hear the message because you haven't gotten it yet. And I know we're like, "But you don't know what they did." It doesn't matter. And I don't say that to hurt anybody's feelings. Of course, your pain is important and what you went through is important. But if Jesus could do for us what He did for us, He died for us when we didn't even care. Come on, don't just look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. There is nobody that's done worse to me than what I've done to God. And he forgives me over and over and over again. And whatever he gives us, he expects us to give away. This is not, you trust me? How many of you trust me? I'm going to tell you that I believe this is one of the biggest number one problems that we have in the world today, is all the hatred and the anger. It's just, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. People hate each other because of the color of their skin. They hate each other because of the church they go to. They hate each other. They don't even know why they hate each other. I mean, people are just, they're mad. I think people are mad about what's going on in the world, and they don't know what to do about it, so they just get mad at everybody else. And you got to resist that. You got to stay away from it. You got to watch for that, because every time you get your feelings hurt and you take offense, you're playing right into the devil's hands. Every single time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it's verses 10 and 11, Paul said, we forgive to keep Satan from getting an advantage over us. You don't forgive because it's easy. You forgive because you don't want the devil to have an open door into your life. And I prayed before I came over here, God, please let people hear what I'm saying tonight. I mean, I want you to really hear it. I want you to get it enough that you're going to go home and make some changes. I don't want anybody to leave this conference mad at anybody else. Well, do you have even a drop of faith for that? I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry, but I can't just give you whipped cream and cake tonight. I mean, if you just want another bowl of sugar, go somewhere else. We're having meat and vegetables here tonight. Come on now, about to get to the part I like. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Now here it is, verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. That's one of the signs of the end time, is the love of the great body of people growing cold, because even they get caught up in all the wickedness going on in the world and all the problems in the world. And so we're all mad and, you know, mad at God, and we don't understand and blah, blah, blah. And what we're supposed to do is realize it's the devil, it's the devil, it's the devil. Can somebody say it's the devil? It is. And realize that love is the highest form of spiritual warfare. Now, please get this. We're talking about how to defeat the devil. And I want to tell you that there's only one way to overcome evil, and that is by being good, doing good, loving people, giving, helping, serving. Well, if I'm going to go by the looks on your faces to determine whether or not you're getting this, I'm in trouble up here. I got to find somebody that's on page one with me. And you know, I might just want to jump off the platform and say, we need to change. And we need to get ourselves off of our minds and not be the center of our universe. What does the Bible say? If you want to be my disciple and come after me, you got to forget yourself, lose sight of yourself and all your own interests, and take up your cross and follow me. And you're like, well, what's going to happen to me? I'll tell you what will happen to you. If you will forget yourself and serve God by serving people, God will come in the back door and he will take care of you, and it'll be more than what you could have ever done for yourself. Go ahead. I just double dare you to try God and see if he can't do a better job of taking care of you than you've ever done yourself. Come on, I've lived a long time. Long time. And I'm telling you that I lived a selfish, self-centered life. Oh, I was so excited when I found out about faith because I thought I could use my faith to get everything I wanted. And God said, well, now that I've taught you what faith is, I'm going to show you what I really want you to use it for. And it's not for you to get everything you want. Come on. Joy doesn't come from getting everything you want. Joy comes from giving and serving and doing for other people. I was unhappy and unhappy and unhappy, and if my ministry grew, I'd be happy, and the ministry grew, and I still wasn't happy, and I was unhappy and unhappy. And I finally said to God, I have been doing this church thing for 20 years. Why am I still unhappy? And boy, he answered me. He said, because you're selfish. I wonder if there's anybody else in here that maybe needed to be there the day I prayed that. And what about me? What about me? What about me? But Chris said an interesting thing to me today when we were talking about this. She said, maybe you need to tell people what love is. Because see, we love ice cream and we love our cat. And we love the movies and we love our house and we love God. We love people and... You don't love ice cream. You may like it, you may like the way it tastes, but we don't love it. And I think we need to understand what love really is. Love is something that you can see and feel, and it can touch you, and it can touch other people, and it can change lives. It can change you, and it can change the people that you love. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you're already taken care of. You're going to heaven. So let me tell you something. Really, for all intent and purposes, you're a done deal. Your name's in the book. Your mansion's being built. And you're here for a reason. And it's not to keep trying to make yourself happy. It's to let your light shine. Come on. Be salt and be light. Let your life make somebody else thirsty. Be a light in somebody else's darkness. Get yourself off your mind, and I'm telling you, God will do more for you in 5 minutes than you could have done in a whole lifetime. And you'll be so happy you won't hardly be able to stand yourself. I know, because I've tried it both ways. And I've been in pursuit of a love walk for lots of years, and I tell you, if you really want to walk in love, you got to aim for it, go for it, chase it, study it, pursue it, because everything in our natural, old, fleshly nature is me, 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 me. Am I right? What about way back up there in the top? Am I right? Now see, I know when you come to something like this, you'd rather maybe have somebody tell you how awesome everything is going to be in your future and all the miracles God's going to do for you and how you're going to be famous and stand on the platform someday. And here I am telling you to get yourself off your mind and give everything away. But you know, do you want to be happy? How many of you really want to be happy? Okay, well, this is the way you get there. Because I tried the other way. And now I've tried this, and this works so much better. I mean, I can honestly tell you, and you try this. If you wake up and you're feeling depressed, and you can you think, this is going to be a bad day, go park yourself somewhere in a chair, sit down, and just say, God, show me what I can do for somebody else today. Now, I'm not making this up. I do this. God, show me who I can be a blessing to today. And I don't know, maybe an hour later, somebody will come to your heart, and you just feel like you should call them and just say, I just want you to know how much God loves you, and you're an important person, and don't ever let the enemy make you think anything different. And how many times have I had people say, you have no idea how much that meant to me. Oh, you changed my day. You changed my life today. Isn't it amazing that you could, you like to play around on the internet? Go ahead and send your texts and your tweets and your twerks and whatever they are. But say something worth hearing. Amen? Don't write me when this is over and tell me everything you didn't like. I'll tell you why. They're not going to let me see it anyway. My staff protects me and helps me stay happy because everybody's happier when mama's happy. Okay, and I want you to listen to this. 1 John 4:8. I mean, this is, if you don't have any reverential fear of God, this ought to give you a little. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And where love is, it says in 1 John, God abides. So you want to walk in God's presence? You want to be close to God? You want to feel His presence in your life? Go love somebody. You say, well, what is love? Well, somebody asked one little boy that, and he said, love is when grandma loves to have her toenails painted, but she gets arthritis and she can't bend over anymore, so grandpa bends over and paints her toenails for her all the time, and he did it even after he got arthritis in his fingers. Love is just, it's a whole lot of little stuff that builds people up and encourages people. It's a kind word. It's a smile. It's paying a single mother's rent for a month. Stop praying for God to help somebody with something that you could help them with and just don't want to. Come on, I'm going to say that again. Stop praying for God to help somebody with something that you could help them with and just don't want to. Wow. One group of ministers were praying about a conference that they were going to have and asking God to give them the money to pay for that conference. And another minister got up and said, wait a minute, we don't need to pray that. All of us together can easily pay for this conference. We'll just take care of that and ask God to do some other stuff that we can't do. Amen. You don't have to sit around and be unhappy every day. Just see what you can do for somebody else. So I'm just going to throw a question out. Don't answer me out loud. Just go home and ponder it. What are you doing to make somebody else's life better? Well, I go to church. Well, whoopee. I got a bumper sticker. I wear my Jesus pin. I take my Bible to work. But what are we doing? Come on. faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead, but faith without works is dead. Nobody can see your faith if you don't help them. That's why we're so big on the missions that we do out of the country, because these people are hurting so bad, it's not going to do any good to go and tell them Jesus loves you. They don't know what that is. They don't know, what does that mean? But if we go in and love them, if we go in and dig them a water well, and if we provide clean water for their village, and we feed their kids, and we build a school, and then they say, why are you doing this? Then we can tell them. Because Jesus has loved us into wholeness, and he sent us here to show you his love. Well, now they can feel that love, so it means something to them. Love is not theory, it's not talk, it's not a word that we throw around, it is something. And the Bible says it clearly, love is patient, kind, meek, and humble. Always believes the best of every person. Boy, could we use that. Is not easily offended, is not touchy, is not fretful, is not resentful, is not self-seeking. Love never quits, it never gives up. And I love this, love never fails. You can take the meanest person on earth, and if you show them the love of God long enough, it'll break them down. Very quick, shortest version I can possibly do. You've probably heard the story before, but I got to get it in here. My father sexually abused me for, I don't know, 12 to, that's all I ever remember. So I don't know if it was 12 years or 15 years, but it was all the years that I can remember being at home. These were not an isolated handful of cases. This was week in and week out, week in and week out. My mother knew what he was doing. I told her when I was 9. He said I was lying. She believed him. She caught him when I was 14. She walked out of the house, came back 2 hours later, never said another word about it. So my father abused me. My mother abandoned me to the abuse because she was afraid. She was afraid. And so I hated my father. Oh, God, I hated him. I prayed for him to die. I prayed for my mother to leave him. I was born again when I was 9 years old, and that's the thing that really kept me from going insane. And I would lay in bed at night and think, and I know this was the Spirit of God in me, I would think, someday I'm going to do something great. I had no idea what it was, but my father told me I'd never amount to anything and I couldn't ever even make it without him. And I'd lay there and think, someday I'm going to do something great. But I could not wait to get out of that house. So the minute I was 18, I left home, married the first guy that came along and paid any attention to me because I thought nobody would ever want me because I was used merchandise. And I knew that was a mistake. He was dumber than I was. And that's what hurting, messed up people do. They marry other people that are messed up, and you just mess each other up more and then have kids and mess them up. And thank God we got away from each other before we had one child, but he's now the head of our world mission, so God fixed him. And interestingly enough, I named him David and then met Dave. God has a plan. Even in the middle of your biggest mess, God's got a plan. And there's nothing you've done that he cannot redeem and work out for the good of his kingdom if you'll let him. Come on, you are not a hopeless case. You are not a lost cause. It is not too late for you. Now there was some sugar. Did you like that? Well, I tell you what, I just feel like if Christians don't start acting the way they're supposed to act, that I am just going to bust. Our first response to offense should be forgiveness. So I got away from my dad, I didn't want nothing to do with him. You know, we had to go a little bit on Christmas and a little bit on whatever, but I saw them the least amount that I could, couldn't wait to get away from them. You understand? I hated him. You got that? Well, when I started becoming a serious Christian, I prayed the Christian, I forgive you prayer. But I hadn't really forgiven him. Because when you really forgive, there are some things you have to do to work through it. You forgive as a decision, not a feeling. You pray for the person who hurt you. It's very hard to pray for somebody every day and keep hating them. God knows what he's doing. And you pray for them to be blessed, and you're thinking at the same time, but I don't want them to be blessed. But the first thing God blesses them with is some revelation of what they've done. You bless them. Uh-oh. What does that mean? Well, first of all, it means you don't get to talk unkind about them anymore. And secondly, if they're in trouble, you'll help them. Uh-oh, I've lost you again. You need more sugar. Okay, so my mother's like 77, my dad's 80, they're both on walkers. Things aren't going well. They live in southeast Missouri, like a 3.5 hour drive away from us. They didn't have good doctors there. So I'm praying one morning, God, who can I help? So I'm just gonna tell you, praying that's a little dangerous. And I felt the Lord, or the devil, I wasn't sure who it was. I'm telling you the truth. Put in my heart to move my parents to St. Louis, buy them a house. Get them a decent car and make sure they were taken care of until they died. I rebuke you, Satan. Come on. I thought there is no way that God would ask me to do that. And I said to God, what did they ever do for me? Well, that's just the whole point, isn't it? God does stuff for people who didn't care about him at all. Come on, is anybody still breathing out there? See, I know if you can just see this, and yes, I can get back up. I don't know why I'm down here, but I just feel like saying, please, for your own sake, get this. As long as you stay angry and mad and full of bitterness and resentment and selfish and self-centered, the devil has got you exactly where he wants you. And the people who hurt you continue to hurt you every day of your life. But when you let it go, the burden lifts. And you're free for God to get involved and intervene and start doing what you can't do. So I thought, well, I'm going to go ask Dave. Dave's not going to spend that kind of money on them. And he said, well, if God told you to do it, you better do it. I thought, anyway, long story short, we did it. And for 3 years, my dad he just stayed as mean as a snake. He didn't say thank you. Oh, you're wonderful. I appreciate this. He was just like, well, what else are you going to do, boys? But after 3 years, got a phone call one morning. My mom said, "Your dad's been crying for about 2 or 3 weeks, and he wants to talk to you." Okay, now he's 80, and I don't know how old I was by then, but you know, probably over 50, and he had never apologized to me, never. And when I went over, he was crying, and he said, "I want to apologize to you for what I did to you when you were a kid." And so I told him I forgave him. He looked at Dave and he said, "I'm sorry, Dave, most men would have killed me, and you've never been anything but just nice to me. You've never shown me anything but love." And we took care of them, and they lived a long time. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. They were in such bad shape, you know, I thought. So we went through the whole assisted living thing when they had to sell the house, get assisted living, and then they couldn't even do that anymore, and we had to go into the nursing home, and I mean, those things are expensive. And then I had a widowed aunt who was my mother's sister, and my uncle, who had already died, was my dad's brother. And so I promised my uncle when he was on his deathbed that I would take care of her. So at one time I had paying for three people in nursing home care. Okay, now look at me. Did I want to do it? No. Did I like doing it? No. Was it fun? No. Did I like spending that much money on three people who had never really done anything for me? No. But I did it for God. And I did it because it was the right thing to do. Now listen to me. When are we going to start doing what's right because it's right and not because we're going to get something out of it? Many times to do what's right, it's going to cost you and it's going to hurt and it's going to require sacrifice. But I'm going to tell you, and I mean this with all my heart, that is the single most powerful thing that I've ever done, and it was the worst blow that I have ever given the devil in my years of living. And I didn't even know it. My dad got saved. I baptized him. And when he came up out of the baptismal fount, walked across the front of the church on his walker, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." And you know what God whispered? "You thought you were buying a house, but you bought a soul." Come on. And you know what? He's hearing me tonight, and he's happy for the message. And he says, "Hey, I'll see you when you get here." Now, we've all got our story, but I just want you to know that I know that it's not easy to forgive and to show people love that have hurt you. Love is the greatest thing in the world. I mean, it is absolutely far over and above anything else, the absolute greatest thing in the world. But love is not just a word, it's going to cost you.
Joyce answers your question of the day soon, so stay with us.
Well, I think many of us believe that we are living in the last days that Jesus talked about in the Bible. And in his word, it says that during that time, our love for others will grow cold. But we can overcome that by simply doing something nice for somebody every day. When we walk in real love, we will experience true joy. You can get more of what you heard today in this teaching through the offer that we have today. It's 6 teachings on battle strategies for a victorious life. And believe me, the devil has a strategy, and we need to have our strategy too. And Jesus teaches us in his word how to do warfare. Today we're offering these 6 CDs, our downloads,
Today's offer includes six messages of Joyce from the 2019 Love Life Women's Conference.
Love is the highest form of spiritual warfare. Love is something that you can see and feel, and it can change lives. It can change you, and it can change the people that you love.
When you feel powerless, don't give up. These teachings will help you build a strategy for overcoming life's challenges by applying God's Word in your daily life.
I can listen to her and I can take something from it and be able to go to the Word and go, that makes sense.
God has made such a change in my life, but He's used her ministry to do it.
Battle Strategies for a Victorious Life. Six teachings on CD that will help you face your enemy fearlessly and trust God to win every fight. Be sure to go online at joycemeyer.org and get this teaching for $30 or more. Or you can call us at 1-800-727-9673.
The time you need and just breathe. Conquer fear and anxiety and be sweet to your soul at the Love Life Women's Conference. Get recharged through powerful messages from Joyce Meyer.
You are a woman of God and women are powerful. World, watch out. Here we come.
Stephen Furtick.
God is fighting for you. You get His help. You get His strength. You get His miracles.
Annie F. Downs.
You feel like you're in the fire. I'm here to say that God is going to pull you out.
Lisa Osteen Combs.
He is my strong tower, and I can run to Him, and I will always be safe.
Dave Meyer. And music with Torrin Wells and Chris Tomlin. Join us in peachy, sun-kissed Atlanta, Georgia, or high up in the mountains of Denver, Colorado. Space is limited. Register by the end of April for special pricing at joycemeyer.org/lovelife. Our question today comes from Laura in California. She says, my husband has ADHD, depression, and anxiety. My 20-year-old son has autism since he was 23 months old. I am mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually spent. Help me.
He is the God of all comfort. And maybe she's not taking enough time to really just spend quiet time with God. And maybe
it'd be hard to find it, wouldn't it?
And maybe she's not taking enough time for herself too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in a situation like that where, I mean, there's a lot of negative and bad emotions coming at her all the time, it can drain you pretty quick. And so no matter what it takes, if it requires having somebody else come into the home to help with the child once a week, she needs some time for her to do some things that she enjoys. And then also, I highly recommend being around some really, like, funny or encouraging people. Mm-hmm. Because she needs to separate herself from all these things that are draining her. And she's not being selfish to do that. She's not, if she falls apart, she's not gonna be able to do anybody any good. And so I really encourage her to get for herself the things that she needs and to make spending time with God. And when I say spending time with God, it doesn't have to be like a four-hour stretch. I mean, even if she can just start every day with 15 minutes, really trusting God that He can enable her to do what she can't do on her own without Him.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.